Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
All right, welcome to Noise Filter. This is Dr. Mark Allen Derry. Doc Griggs is not able to be with us today, so let's go ahead and get started. College vaccination requirement. Now, many colleges and universities are now requiring students to receive the COVID-19 vaccine before they return to campus, according to NPR. Among the list are notable universities such as Duke, Notre Dame, Brown, Cornell, Tulane, Xavier, here in New Orleans, just to name a few. Now, throughout the pandemic, colleges have contributed to big outbreaks, and it's very difficult to control social spaces such as dorms and dining halls. Another issue is the fact that many colleges and universities are intertwined with neighboring communities. Requiring vaccinations is not unprecedented. Nearly all universities and colleges require students to have MMR vaccine, which protects against the measles, mumps, and rubella. This also isn't too difficult to enforce. Colleges have utilized registration holds, which prevent students from signing up for classes. Some have prevented students from living on campus housing and even used expulsions. The legality of requiring vaccinations may seem complex, but most universities have the power to require vaccines. What makes it complex is that the college needs now to follow both federal and state laws. This is usually easier for private colleges. Historically, these laws have been challenged, but ultimately the court upholds the mandates in place, stating that schools can require vaccinations. But a new issue with COVID is that vaccinations are not yet officially approved by the FDA, even though they have emergency use authorization. Some things to look for would be receiving exemptions for medical and religious reasons. Other questions in mind stem from giving students alternatives such as online learning options. Can international students who have been vaccinated with vaccines not approved in the U.S. still attend? Overall, this is a controversial topic. Frankly, in my mind, it's not, but I can understand why our writers wrote that. But the main priority should be allowing students to return to campus in a safe way, not only for themselves, but for the surrounding communities. European court supports mandatory vaccinations for kids. As the COVID vaccine continues in development, becoming more readily available, conversations have begun as to whether or not to require it in certain settings. In Europe, the Court of Human Rights has ruled that the countries are permitted to legally require vaccinations for children. This ruling comes as Europe continues to struggle with the transmission of COVID-19 alongside vaccinations. In a 16-1 ruling, the court noted that the vaccines are considered necessary in a democratic society, according to NPR. They added that requiring vaccinations may increase individual obligation, with the public gain overruling the burden of getting a vaccine. The decision has sparked some controversy, as many feel it violates their liberties to decide for themselves. Some have challenged the decision, citing that it violates the protection of freedom of religion and belief. However, the European court has rejected them, noting that the plaintiffs were unable to support their opinions as of sufficient cogency, seriousness, cohesion, and importance so as to constitute a conviction or belief as defined by the European Constitution. Additionally, the court offered that vaccines are one of the most successful and cost-effective health interventions, which science has paved the way for. As the continent continues to battle COVID-19, the decision has brought up concerns about the requirements of the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines now are still under review for child eligibility, but we can expect them to become available to children in the near future. So, finally, parents raise questions about whether COVID-19 vaccines will be included under the required immunizations for children to attend certain schools. More criticism also arises about how the ruling disagrees with the personal opinion of many. The COVID vaccine is not the only vaccine which people are hesitant to take. We'll have to see how this court ruling plays out in Europe and what implication this may have on our American systems. School year extensions and online schooling. The Los Angeles school officials have considered adding 2 extra weeks to the next school year in order to address the learning loss and trauma from the past school year, according to the LA Times. The plan would be to add on 1 week to each semester, and it would be split between time for teachers to plan and train, as well as time for students to process the mental health challenges they faced. Many families are actually interested in this. There are still some uncertainties involved in the planning for the next school year. For instance, if this extension time would be mandatory for students. Other uncertainties pertain to the academic recovery plan, which would include more reading and math teachers, hiring more teachers to reduce class sizes, increasing tutoring services, and expanding services for students with special needs, and adding mental health counselors. On top of all this, some families are advocating for a remote learning option to remain even post-pandemic. While there are some concerns about the toll that remote learning could have on a student's academic progress and emotional health, many families seem to disagree. The idea is that the remote learning option would not be a makeshift pandemic program, as reported by the New York Times, but would be designed specifically for online learning. So many parents and children want remote learning to avoid bullying and discrimination and to help with student health issues, and simply because it's just more convenient for them. Many virtual schools require students to work through the course independently, and therefore it attracts self-motivated students, but not for everyone, but it could be a good alternative for many families. Robots saved the day during the pandemic, but now what? The pandemic disrupted the working lives of millions of people by forcing companies to subject workers to reduced hours, layoffs, and social distancing restrictions. This resulted in the mass exodus of people from many labor-intensive factories. These factories found a way to stay afloat by fully embracing automation and robots. Now, according to NBC News, there are about 500,000 fewer employed manufacturing workers than there were a year ago. The question is how many of those jobs will come back and how many have been permanently disrupted by digital processes. Since the pandemic hit, food manufacturers have ramped up their automation, allowing facilities to maintain output while social distancing. Factories digitized controls on their machines so they can be remotely operated by workers working from home or another location. New sensors were installed that can flag or predict failures by allowing teams of inspectors to be reduced down to as an as-needed maintenance crew. Now, with the global recovery underway, manufacturers want even more automated machines so that they can cope with spiking demand for their products, even with a shortage of skilled workers. Robert Stevenson, the CEO of Eastman Machine Company, said, "When you automate systems, you get greater accuracy. Repeatability is increased. It's hard to find people who can do that." Economic labor experts estimate that every one automated device replaces 6 human workers. And while 3 of the displaced workers will find another job, the other workers withdraw from the labor force. Robots can replace as many as 2 million more workers in manufacturing by 2025. Advocates for automation say that robots are just simply tools that warehouse workers will use rather than outright replace them, because humans will always need to be running the machines. I don't think we need to worry about robots taking over anytime soon, but perhaps this is a good time for labor-intensive workers to sharpen their skills or perhaps learn new ones to professionally become as indispensable and versatile as possible. Just as a reminder, that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to noisefiltershow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving, and remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.